Welcome back to the very last episode of season two for Their Soulmates, the Ted Lasso podcast. My name is Tori.
I'm Kevin.
We are here to be your after show for Ted Lasso. We dive into the characters of Ted Lasso and Rebecca Welton, how they are connected, and why we think they are soulmates. And this time, too, I'm going to talk about why I'm real pissed off that Rebecca didn't go home with one of those greyhound puppies. Rebecca needs a puppy.
A puppy?
Yeah.
All right. Just like, I don't think she does. I think you're wrong about that.
Why?
Because Rebecca's probably never home. Well, who's going to take care of the puppy?
No, she can bring the puppy with her to the football club. That little doggy could curl right up on her couch.
Now she's one of those annoying people that brings a dog to work. offended all the people that bring a dog to work.
It's a greyhound, though. She needs someone to love, and she needs a companion so that she can feel a little more comfortable, I think, being by herself.
I just feel like she's not home enough.
All right.
But maybe not.
Maybe a cat.
Although,
I don't think Rebecca likes cats.
You make a good point. The fact that Rebecca does a lot of nothing at work, she's sitting
this
around.
This is true. Hopefully in
season
three.
Maybe she could get home in time to take care of the dog the dog with her.
Yeah, but why own a football club if you can't bring your dog to work? I mean, she has a giant office.
Yeah.
Let's just think about it.
But then where are you going to walk the dog? On the pitch?
No, can't put a dog on the pitch. Oh, remember when Nate was there are poos over here. No.
Especially a puppy. Things got to go.
That's true. We already know what happened to Higgins' office. Okay, so the episode that we're going to cover today is... Oh, wait, before we get started.
What?
I just want to say, so we're recording this tonight. I'll probably post it tomorrow or Tuesday.
Which means nothing to anybody.
Yes, of course. But in, I think, 2 weeks, maybe a week and a half, I'm going to be on the podcast Peanut Butter and Biscuits with Craig and Jeremy. Kevin was out of town, but I do most of the talking anyway.
I was.
So
I think that's true.
But they are super great guys. So they are not in the camp of Rebecca and Ted are going to end up together. Or are they now? You'll have to listen and find out.
I guess.
I feel like I made a good case. You know, I pretty much wrote a thesis.
Well, I feel like you should have made a good case.
I did.
Because that's what I'm saying, because that's what this whole podcast is based on.
Yes, it's true. I have
you dragged me into it saying this is what it is, right? So
yeah, I have.
Yes, you should have very good points.
I did.
Because you believe in this more than anybody.
That's not true.
I'm with you on it. Don't get me wrong. I am with you. I'm just saying.
We definitely have people out there that are deep into our camp, for sure.
Yeah.
But then we also have a lot of people who are not.
Haters.
And those people are very vocal.
The haters.
But I think I'm doing okay with the,
No, you're fine. I'm kidding with the haters.
Yeah, I try to be very diplomatic in my responses. And listen, and I go into this a bit on that podcast. Shipping is a very personal thing. If you don't find one of these two people attractive, if you don't think that Ted could ever score a woman like Rebecca, or you think Rebecca is too old for Ted, even though they're technically the same age, there's just different things that people see when they see a couple that they're either going to relate to them or they're not. For me, I relate to them. And I will admit it took me a little while to be like, oh, Ted is actually a man and not just like Ned Flanders in human form. Yeah, so I think that's going to come out on Friday, May 6th. And it's Peanut Butter and Biscuits, also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever and they're part of the Front Row Network. They have a whole slew of shows. They're part of NPR in Illinois. It's pretty cool. I gotta listen to some of their other ones. They do Disney shows, and there are a bunch of other I think each of those guys, Craig and Jeremy, each host two shows, and then there are other people in the Front Row Network that do a bunch of other shows about a bunch of other stuff. So I was super excited that they asked me to be on, and we had a lot of fun. They're super nice, and I had a really great time with them.
Oh, good.
The episode we're gonna cover tonight is Inverting the Pyramid of Success. It was released on October 8th, 2021. It was written by Jason Sudeikis and Joe Kelly and directed by Declan Lowry. And this is the season two season finale. So a quick summary of the episode I have. There are a lot of changes coming up for AFC Richmond. Keeley's moving on. Higgins is getting new carpet. Sam's making some big decisions. And most importantly, the team is fighting to get back to the Premier League. I hadn't watched this episode in a while. And when I rewatched it, we rewatched it the other night. Uh-huh. It's such a good episode.
It really like, is.
I enjoyed it just as much as if it was the first time. Like, it was exciting watching the team play, and it's just such a great episode.
It is. It is really a good one.
So when this episode starts, Ted is dealing with the aftermath of the article coming out that says that he had a panic attack at the football match and that it was not a bad fish pie.
A bad fish pie.
And they're commenting on it on one of the sports shows. And we see him turn it off. He's eating his breakfast, again with the shredded wheat, the one piece of shredded wheat.
The one large piece of shredded wheat.
When we go to London in June, I'm going to have to buy a box of shredded wheat because I just want to see that.
Really?
Now,
how many do you think's in the box?
I don't know. That's what I'm curious. Maybe like eight?
Oh, you think eight? Huh?
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. Do they have... Is it only without the frosting? Because I like the shredded wheat with the frosting. So can I get a large one that's got the frosting on top?
We'll have to find out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look. Because if I might not buy it, if not, because I'm not going to eat it without the frosting, I don't think. We see that Ted gets a text message from Rebecca. I like that she's still Rebecca, a.k.a.
The boss.
The boss. This is also one of the times where we get to see the date. So it's Friday, April 30th.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, every once in a while, you'll get a screenshot that lets you know, like, where... Time is very odd on this show, because I think technically it should still be 2020. No, wait, I'm sorry. It is 2021.
Right.
But the Christmas episode would have been Christmas of 2020. And now we are in April of 2021.
Okay.
Even though we were watching this in October of 2021.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, because the 30th is next Saturday.
Yeah, last year was
Friday. Here, this...
2022,
yeah. The 30th is Saturday.
Ted, Rebecca's message says, Ted, fuck the haters, call if you need anything, and a little purple heart. Yes. The purple heart has become popular on Twitter after this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like the symbol of...
People are just...
Ted and Rebecca.
Yeah, okay.
He gets an audio message from Dr. Sharon... And she says something about, remember, you know, the truth will set you free, but at first it'll really piss you off. And then he gets a text message from Michelle, and it just says, are you okay? Heard about the news. Are you okay? So there was something that was interesting that Jason Sudeikis said on a podcast with Bob Saget, the late Bob Saget, where they were talking about relationships or whatever. And he was saying, like, you know, when a buddy's going through a breakup, when he gets to the point where you notice he gets a phone call from her and he just lets it go to voicemail, that he's doing better. He's on the upswing now. And so what's interesting in this scene for me is that he gets a text message from Rebecca. He gets an audio message from Sharon, but the only person he responds to is Michelle. So I think he's still quite not there yet.
Yeah.
He's not fully on the upswing.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
So she says, you know, heard about the news. Are you okay? He responds with a knock-knock joke.
I know.
Knock-knock. Who's there? Europe. Europe who? Europe late. And she's just like, ah, you're obviously fine. So then he says, you know, was it a late night or an early morning? And you just see like the three dots come up.
Right.
And then disappear. It's like, and then as soon as they disappear, he's like, oh, shit.
He knew he overstepped his boundaries in a way, you know.
Yeah, because really it's not any of his business anymore. And I think maybe if Michelle felt like he was in a better place, she probably would. Like, maybe she was debating, like, all right, like, what do I tell him? Because she probably knows that he's not fully on the upswing yet. And then he realizes and he's like, never mind, none of my beeswax. Beeswax. So on the way to work, there's photographers outside. Everybody is reading the tabloids. Everything says panic at the lasso. All sort. The coffee lady is like, you doing okay? He's like, yeah. She's like, are you sure? He's like, yeah.
Poor Ted.
Yeah, he sits down. Is Ted dead in the head? That's another headline. Yeah,
one of the headlines. Panic at the Lasso, which is the one you just mentioned.
So he goes and meets Beard, who's sitting at the bench already. And an older man comes up to him. I feel like we've seen this guy yell at him before. Beard hands him a coffee, and the guy's like, if my grandfather would have had a panic attack at Normandy, we'd all be speaking German. And Ted's just like, yes, sir. And the guy's like, just do the work. You'll be all right. So yeah. He's kind of compassionate.
I know. After yelling at him.
Right. And then he walks off. You think what I noticed, too, in this scene? So I've seen so many fans going to London and taking pictures on this bench. And the middle slat on the bench is gone. Mm-hmm. And I think it's gone here, too. Like, I wondered if it had just broken recently because lots of fans are going and sitting on it.
Maybe it's been gone forever.
Yeah. That poor little bench needs an upgrade.
It does.
It needs a little bit of love. So Ted's like, so I guess I'm pretty sure you know what that's about. And Beard's like, nope. Yet he has the tabloid in his back pocket. So he absolutely does. When Ted gets into the office, he walks in on Rebecca, Keeley, and Higgins, who are discussing whether or not Sam has made a decision on where he's going yet. And so Ted walks in and he says, what's the story, Paul Shorey? And you just blew my mind with what you looked up here.
Yeah. Paul Shorey is a real person.
So I thought that he was making a play on Pauly Shore.
No.
To make it rhyme had like changed the endings. But no, real person.
Yeah, no. I could see how you... But as soon as he said that, I was just thinking like, I wonder if that's a real person. And it is.
Yeah, very good.
It's an American scholar. The American classical scholar you can look up.
It sounds like someone that Ted would
know. I know, exactly. Totally. Totally.
Now, Rebecca's just standing there looking beautiful, and everyone's like, Ted, how are you? We're so sorry about the article. And he's like, oh, no worries. And Rebecca says that she's going to find out who the anonymous source was. Now, Ted already knows who it is, and we all know it's Nate. And he's like, no worries, you know, let's let it go. And then he says, unlike Lieutenant Caffey, is that the guy's name? I can handle the truth.
Yeah, which is great. Such a great reference.
Fantastic. So now they're just kind of chatting. Rebecca bites into a biscuit, and then she's like, this tastes like shit. And he's like, oh, man, you know, it was a rough night, and now I am absolutely sure that I accidentally mixed up the sugar and the salt. Mm. And he goes to take them from her, and she's like, no, hang on. And she keeps chewing. She's like, it's interesting. And then I heard that this part here was ad-libbed. And she says, she's a sneaky, salty bitch. And then, like, Heather Locklear on Melrose Place.
Yeah.
And they're all like, yeah, that is a great reference. That's exactly how you would describe her.
That's so funny. What's funny, I mean, if you think about it, like, mixing up the sugar and the salt is probably... little salt and a ton of sugar.
So much sugar.
That must be insane.
That was a sneaky, salty bitch. That was disgusting.
Terrible.
Yeah. Because I've made the milk bar Ted Lasso recipe. And yeah, you only put like a teaspoon of salt.
You're right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like a cup of confectioner sugar. So if you mix those up, it was going to be a disaster. It's a really sweet scene when Ted gets down to the pitch and kind of talks to the guys about the article. He's like, I know you all already saw it. And then there's like some joking going along about like, you probably read it on your phone. I still get the paper. He's like, you can't clip out a paper and put it on the fridge. And then Danny's like, my refrigerator has a television. And Sam's like, oh, I have that one too. You forget how rich all these guys are.
I know, exactly.
And his, like, you know, the point is that you should have heard it from me and not somewhere else. He's like, but I made a choice not to tell you, and that was the wrong one. And I love when he says, you know, we make choices every single day, ranging from, am I really about to eat something called Greek yogurt? What's wrong with Greek yogurt?
I don't know.
I love Greek yogurt.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
But it is, it is so Ted, because I feel like Ted's tastes are like a seven-year-old, like,
yeah, I can see that.
I feel like he's not a very adventurous eater. Maybe getting better, especially now that he's been introduced to Indian food. But for the most part, I feel like Ted is like one of those guys that's very plain everything.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut butter right out of the jar. He says, I hope you guys can forgive me. And, you know, I I don't want anything. I won't hold anything back from you anymore. And then the guys are like, it's fine. We're with you. And then they say, like, when we find out who did this, we're going to punch him. Colin says, we're going to take socks full of soap to their stomach and chest.
That's so violent.
I know. Very.
Socks full of soap. It was violent.
Like, there are so many other ways to beat somebody up. If we're going to go get soap and then put it in socks.
Well,
I guess if you're in the locker room, it's easy. You already have that
and
stuff.
And also, not from experience, I just know that if you get like there's also been like pillowcase, you get a pillowcase full of oranges and
then
you can beat somebody up with it.
That's awful.
But what it does is it causes more internal injuries than external.
Oh.
So you don't see, you can't see the injuries.
They're all internal.
Not so again, not from experience.
Maybe that's what
I'm just saying. Right. You can really knock somebody around and it's only internal. You don't see bruises and stuff because when you have like a sock or
it's soft on the outside.
Right. And you really, anyway.
We see Nate's face too when he's reacting to the fact that he's going to be the one on the receiving
the
end
socks,
of those socks and soap.
Socks full of soap.
But one other thing I want to mention before we move on, which I forgot to mention earlier, is that when he's talking about the decisions that he's made, he brings up another one that I think is so Ted. He says, my Chicago Bulls starter jacket that I let Janelle Rhodes borrow in my sophomore year because she spilled ketchup all over herself and it looked like she had been shot. Those are two things I ain't getting back.
Mm.
But that says so much about Ted, that he was the guy that saw a girl like get ketchup on her shirt, felt bad for her, and was like, here, do you want to wear my hoodie for the day?
Yeah, my starter jacket.
Yeah, and then he never got it back.
And the fact that it's the Chicago Bulls, which is Jordan, Michael Jordan, and he wears Jordans all the time.
Yes,
so
I'm sure that's very...
Obviously, he is a Jordan fan.
Yes, I'm sure that's very Jason and very Ted.
Starter jacket.
Later that night, Ted and Beard are at Crown and Anchor, and May came over, and she was like, you know, don't let it worry you. It's all going to wash out. Everything does.
She's right.
Yeah.
She's actually right about that.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then he looks over, and he sees somebody reading one of the tabloids, and May walks by and grabs it out of the guy's hand, balls it up, and chucks it.
And the guy's like, I was finished anyway. Yeah.
But it's so sweet because May has always kind of been on his side. She even told him in the beginning, like, don't let them call you a wanker. And so now she's really grown fond of Ted for sure. So Beard says to Ted, are you going to say anything? And Ted's like, probably eventually. And he's like, no, to Nate. So Ted's like, oh, well, what makes you think that it's Nate? And Beard's looking at him like, we all know it was Nate. But he says, you know, much like my philosophy when it comes to cats, babies, and apologies, you got to let them come to you.
I mean, yeah.
And Beard's like, he's never going to come to you. And Ted's like, oh, I'm not going to push it. So he's basically saying, like, he's not going to confront. He knows it was Nate because Tred told him. Beard knows it was Nate, but Ted is just going to let this go. He's not going to go and ask him why he did this.
Which, I mean, it's amazing. It speaks of, you know, Ted's character.
Because it's not so much that... I don't think it's so much that Ted's, like, scared to confront him.
No, I think he just wants it to be... He just wants to be left alone.
And he just wants...
Not left alone, but just he doesn't... He wants to always find the good in people, and I think...
Yeah, and he's probably internalizing why it happened, too. Like,
exactly.
Somehow he's blaming it on himself already.
That's a good description.
And so he's just sort of going to, like, wait it out and see if Nate figures this out on his own. But then Beard says, I'm worried if you bottle this up, your little mustache is going to pop off your face.
I know, it's kind of funny. It's pretty funny.
And then they have an inside joke where he says, you're going to look like the fella from The Hangover. And...
Oh, yeah. You explain this to me.
Yes.
Yeah, people confuse Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah. So Ted says, then I'll look like the fella from The Hangover. And Beard says, Bradley Cooper. And
I know.
Ted's like, oh, you're too good to me. Because Jason Sudeikis and Ed Helms are confused for each other.
Well, what's funny is that's such an insult to both Jason Sudeikis and Ed Helms when he says, you're too kind to me.
Right.
That's also an insult to Ed Helms, basically right. saying that Bradley Cooper is much better looking than both of them.
I mean, I feel...
I know. It's just funny.
Jason Sudeikis and Ed Helms are both very nice looking guys, but I'm pretty sure they both know that Bradley Cooper is better looking than
that. Leaps and bounds above them, right. or whatever.
Because
I don't
know. Bradley Cooper.
Right.
But it's Jason funny. Sudeikis has some story about how somebody came up to him one time for a picture, and he said that like halfway through taking the picture, he realized the person and realized that it wasn't Ed Helms.
Oh.
And so he turned and he's like, I'm not who you think I am, am I?
Oh, that's so funny.
But what's funny is like, they were like, yeah, that's okay. And they took the picture anyway. But then when they show people the picture, they're going to be like, that's Jason Sudeikis. So you still have a like picture with a celebrity.
It's just so
not
funny
who
though,
you thought it was.
Because it's that whole like celebrity spotting, like you know it's a celebrity, even though you think it's somebody else.
Right.
It's just so funny to me.
It is. And especially... like living here, we see people all the time and you're just kind of like, I know that person from somewhere, but I don't know where. You know who I bet that happens to all the time?
Who?
Judy Greer. You know who Judy Greer is?
Yes, I absolutely know who Judy Greer is.
Look her name up if you're not familiar with her. She is a working actress that has been in everything.
I know.
She
really has.
So many shows. And
she's excellent in Arrested Development.
Yes, fantastic. I recently just watched her in a... Californication. I just watched her in a movie called... Grandma? With Lily Tomlin. It was really good. But yeah, she's just one of these actresses that has worked consistently for years.
I know.
Always has
she really has.
Small to medium-sized roles in an array of different projects. And she... I read her book and she was saying that like... I think the title of her book is I'm not who you think I am or something like
funny.
That. Because people will always... recognize her, but they can never figure out where because they've seen her in so much stuff. Now, the next day, Keeley has some hard news to tell Rebecca. So earlier in the episode, we saw Keeley go to Higgins because she needed advice on how to tell Rebecca that she is going to quit AFC Richmond and start her own PR firm because a company is offering to back her.
Right.
It's the same people who run Banter. And Higgins tells her, you know, a good mentor wants you to move on, and a great mentor knows you will move on. That is very good advice.
I know.
I like that a lot. So Keeley gets up the courage. She goes into Rebecca's office, and you just see, like, her say, can I talk to you for a minute? And Rebecca's all happy, like, of course. And then they just cut to Rebecca bawling.
I know.
There's so many tears on her face. The mascara's all smeared.
It's just a mess.
It really just looks like there's no way that's really Hannah Waddingham's tears. Like, someone came over and sprayed her eyes to make them that wet. And Keeley has no tears, which is, they should have sprayed her face a little bit, too.
I know, made her cry a little bit.
Either that, or this was, the third take, and Hannah Waddingham was really just bringing it every single time to coat her entire face in tears. So she says, you know, I'm so happy for you, and she's not upset at all. She does want Keeley to move on and do great things. Right then, she gets a text alert on her phone, looks down, and finds out that Rupert has bought West Ham.
Hmm.
This is not Rebecca's say. So then she's like, promise me you're just never going to go work for him. And she's like, I promise. Like, this is my team. And Rebecca's like, well, if we don't get promoted, you may not actually want to work with us either. And Keeley's just like, yeah, that's a good point. Which is probably just kidding.
Right.
She says to Keeley, can I give you some advice? And Keeley says, sure. She says, hire your best friend. She's giving her advice about being a boss. And then Keeley's like, she starts crying again and they start hugging. But that's not always good advice.
It
isn't. This worked out really well for them.
I don't think it's great advice.
Hiring your best friend can get really messy unless your best friend is very good at what they do. So it was good that Keeley is passionate and is very good at what she does. And they became best friends. Now it's time for the match. Everybody's getting ready in the locker room. Nate has his game day suit on, which is now black. And not the suit that Ted gave him, the one he got with Keeley.
Oh,
his hair
right.
is completely gray. Not completely.
But it's getting there.
It's very
salt and
pepper.
Keeps getting more gray.
Yes, more and more
every
gray.
Every episode.
And he's looking up at the Pyramid of Success, which is an autographed poster that they have from John Wooden, which is someone that both Ted and Beard and Jason Sudeikis and Brendan Hunt look up to. That's been on the wall the entire time. He's kind of staring at it. Earlier we saw Beard reading the book called Inverting the Pyramid, which is a soccer tactic book. And this episode is called Inverting the Pyramid of Success. So kind of a mash of all of these together. I see. And Ted says they're going to run Nate's false nine. And then Nate's all like, you'd be fools not to.
I know, immediately.
Yeah, like he's super really, cocky. He's very cocky in this one. So I guess what we can assume here is that Nate has gotten his full job offer for West Ham at this point, right? And that's yes. why he's oh, yeah. such a dick.
Right.
Because I feel like I don't know that he would have had this big of, I'm going to say ovaries instead of balls, if he didn't already have somewhere to go when this game was over. So I feel like he knows this is his last game to begin with. Now, what's his name? Roy. Roy comes in because he would like some advice.
Oh, boy.
I know. And Ted and Beard get so excited. Ted's like, Roy, are you saying you want to become a diamond dog? And he said, no, I just, oh, he says, fuck no.
Right.
I just wouldn't mind maybe being in the room while it's happening, like this one time. So they're like, okay, so you can have a visitor's pass. And they start howling and everything and getting into position. And now Higgins is back in that little workout room behind. And Ted's like, what happened? Did you get kicked out of your office? And he's like, no, I mean, just temporarily, because it was covered in dog shit. Because earlier in the episode, he had all the greyhound puppies in there that they were auditioning to see who was going to be the mascot.
Right.
And as soon as he put those dogs down in his office, I was like, those dogs are going to shit everywhere. And they did. Poor Higgins. So he's out for a little bit until he gets new carpet. So Ted's like, okay, get ready and go. So Roy is saying that on the photo shoot that Keely did with him in the last episode, you know, he hates doing photo shoots and he didn't want to do it, but he did it. And then they actually didn't use any of his pictures. And I think really, like, Roy's not upset necessarily that they didn't use his pictures. Like, I think he says it hurt his feeling.
Right.
And I think what he really is trying to cope with is the fact that he realizes that he thinks that he would have seemed really out of place if they had used him. And I think that's probably what's unsettling him the most.
No, it's good. It's
like,
a good point.
Because he tells Keely, like, no, you look fucking fantastic. You know, you look like a CEO. And there really was no reason for me to be in these pictures to begin with.
Right.
And so I don't know if that kind of builds on Roy's insecurity of, like, does she even really need me around? Which, no, she doesn't need him.
No.
He doesn't need her.
No.
But they want to be together.
Of course.
And I think that that can be said for a lot of people. Like, I don't, you know, you don't necessarily need to have a partner, but you want to have a partner and someone to share this with. So, but I think Roy's kind of struggling. I was talking with this a bit with Craig and Jeremy on the Peanut Butter and Biscuits podcast. Like, this is really Roy's first grown-up relationship. And so I feel like that's why he has so many, like, kind of insecurities and mm-hmm. stuff, because he's just not really used to what, like, for him, this means, like, oh, okay, well, this is it. Then she doesn't need me and she's just going to leave me. Like, I think he's always thinking that it's going to be over.
Right.
When maybe necessarily it's not going to be. Roy says, and then at Rebecca's dad's funeral, Jamie told me that he's in love with Keely. And Beard and Ted look at each other and they're like, oh, and Beard's like, and he's not dead.
Yeah.
And Roy's like, no, I forgave him. So they're actually really proud of Roy because he is kind of growing here.
Yeah.
And they are excited that he's shared with them. Well, now Nate is like, I have something that I need to confess. And you see Beard look over at Ted. Ted look over at Beard. And
right,
Ted's like,
you
go
think
ahead.
It's coming.
Right. Like, is he going to say he was the one? And he says, I kissed Keely the day that we went suit shopping. And Roy's like, oh, yeah, nah, she told me. We're fine. And he's like, what? You wanted to kill Jamie. I kissed her. And he's like, no, you made a mistake. It's fine. Because Roy does not see Nate as any kind of threat. And I think Nate realizing that, it pisses him off even more than he's already pissed off. So Diamond Dogs is adjourned. They're all going in. And Roy's like, wait a minute. So we just, like, talk, and then we don't have to fix anything, and then that's it?
Sometimes nothing gets solved.
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, pretty much. And he's like, oh, cool. And Ted and Beard are so excited.
I know.
It's like the most popular guy in school just asked them out on a date.
Exactly. And maybe he'll become a diamond dog.
Now we get to a whole bunch of football playing. It's not going well. First half is not going well.
No.
False nine is not working out. So
no.
They get back in the locker room for, I don't know, do they call it halftime? I don't know.
Yes, I think it
bathroom
is.
Bathroom break time.
Bathroom
and they're like,
time.
Okay, what are we going to do the second half? So they're trying to decide, like, should we continue with the false nine? And Nate's like, no, because they don't fucking know how to do it. And they're like, well, you know, now they've had 45 minutes to practice, so maybe they do. So they decide, Roy's like, why don't we go ask them? Because they're the ones that actually have to play the rest of this game. So they go out there and ask the guys if they think that they should continue to run the false nine. And they think that they should. So they kind of all huddle up. Everyone's feeling a little more energized. And when they get into the huddle, Isaac is not joining. And they're like, Isaac, what's, you know, Captain, get in here. But he walks through all of them mm-hmm. and he puts his hand up on the Believe poster. And then everyone follows him and they all put their hands on the Believe poster. And that's where they count Richmond on three or whatever, whatever odd counting they like
yeah,
to do sometimes.
Yes.
So Nate's pissed off because he thinks now they're going to do this false nine and it's not going to work. And they're going to be able to say that it was his, you know, his play. And so he's going to be the one that looks like the asshole.
Right. Again, always constantly, you know, this like low self-esteem.
Yes.
Always.
Everyone's out to get him.
Right.
Everyone's trying to make him look bad.
But also, I guess at this point, we're supposed to believe or.
Yeah. So at this point, I think we're supposed to believe that. He has a job offer. Like, he's already going to West Ham, and he probably knows it.
Right.
And so he's probably like, okay, great. Well, now you're going to make me look like a fucking asshole when I just got this super new coaching job because this isn't going to work, and we're going to lose this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more of a defeating thing, too. Like, he knows he's on his way out, so he's going to be the biggest jerk that he... I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a weird dynamic.
Yeah, I think he has some juice. He's got some power.
Yeah.
And he feels like now he can, you know, it just kind of... be who he really is in this moment and not give a fuck. Ted notices that Nate is upset. He hangs back while everybody else goes to get back out on the field. He goes into Nate's office and he says, you know, like, you okay? And this is just such a powerful scene.
Like, it is. It really is.
Nick Muhammad, who plays Nate, is like the sweetest. He seems like such the sweetest guy in real life, and he's like all soft-spoken and super cute. And then, like, even the way he plays this, like, Nate's being a complete dick,
right?
But the way he's wiping his eyes almost like a little boy is like, it just like fucks with you.
I
because
know. I know, it's crazy.
You still kind of see that there could be Nate in there somewhere, and he's just like lost and really in a bad place right now. So Ted says to him, you know, come on, what's going on here? Tell me how if I did something to make this wrong. Because Ted is taking this on himself. Like, he, if there was something going on with Nate and he missed it, you know, he takes that on himself because he doesn't ever want to miss if someone else is hurting. And so Nate tells him, all right, you want to know what it is?
Yeah, and he lights him up.
Yeah, he's like, you made me feel like I was the most important person. He said, and then it was like a switch was flicked, and it just like that, I couldn't get your attention back, like no matter what I did.
Which is interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, that we necessarily saw that.
I don't think we did, but for Nate, he internalized it or just
yes.
assumed it, you know? It's an interesting dynamic
yeah,
for people who are self-defeating and need all the, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And you think about his childhood. Right, like when you see that scene with his parents, he couldn't get any kind of attention from his father. He went
right.
there and he's like, look at me, I am now a coach. And the father was still like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he never
I'm on the
got,
paper, look at that. And right.
Never got approval. So I think that's, which obviously that was reading into his character and letting us know. But
yeah.
still, it's
and it
interesting.
Goes with the same... It goes with this whole theme of father-son. So, like, Nate has always had a hard time getting his dad's attention.
Right,
and
exactly.
And now he is putting that on Ted because
right.
they kind of had, like, a father-son, although I don't think they're that far apart in age. But as far as, like, their
no, but
levels,
the leadership
right, the leadership.
And, yeah.
He really looked up to Ted as a mentor. And obviously, Ted did a lot to get Nate to where he is in the first season. And so... I don't know that Ted necessarily doesn't realize that he's not paying as much attention to Nate anymore, but Nate just feels like that's it. And he says, you know, you're going to run this false nine. And then when they fuck up, which they will, you can blame it on me. Hmm. And he tells Ted, you know, like, everybody loves you and you're the great Ted Lasso, but I think you're a fucking joke. And without me, we wouldn't have won a single match.
Wow.
Yeah. He just goes on and on. He's saying, you need to go back to Kansas where you belong with your son. So he brings up the fact that Ted is like not.
Dagger. There's a dagger.
Yeah. Not with his kid. And he says, you know, the picture that I gave you for Christmas isn't even up in your office. You have all these dumb Americans up on the walls of your office. But what Nate doesn't know is that the picture that he gave him for Christmas is on his dresser next to a picture of Henry in his bedroom. And that's like, I mean, Ted can never tell him that. No one's ever, Nate's never probably going to know that. And there's no reason for Nate to know it. We know it. Ted knows it.
Right.
But it's just so powerful when you know it and you hear him saying that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. So, but again, like, you know, Nate's getting very emotional and tearing up. And I feel like I always think that there's going to be redemption for Nate because I don't necessarily think that he is a horrible person. I think he's just super insecure and has always been super insecure and needs to work through that. And if there's anyone that's going to forgive him for this, it's going to be Ted Lasso.
Yep.
Yeah. Now we're back at the second half of the match. Mm-hmm. False nine works and Sam kicks a goal.
Yeah.
Then Jamie gets fouled. So now Jamie's up to kick the ball. But at the last minute, he decides that he's going to hand this over to Danny.
Is actually very cool.
Yes.
It is a very cool scene.
And it shows a lot of growth with Jamie. Never given that up before.
No.
And now he's giving Danny this chance to kind of redeem himself because the last time Danny kicked a goal or kicked a foul ball, he killed Earl.
Yes.
And on his boot, it even says R.I.P. Earl. So you see Earl. Him like get ready to kick it, and then he looks over, and there is the pup. the new mascot.
The new Earl. Wait,
I think it's Macy Greyhound who won because when
during
the semifinals it was Macy Greyhound and Tina Fey Hound.
Right.
I really want to find out that Rebecca took home Tina Fey Hound. She's adorable, and so Macy Greyhound is now out there, and she's wearing a helmet.
I got the little helmet. It's so cute. <I know. laughs>
It has like a little tiny Richmond symbol on
it. I know, and then it has the chin strap. I mean, I guess that's the only way you're going to keep a helmet on a dog. She's so funny.
It is so cute, and she's kind of like whimpering a little bit.
Wondering what's happening. Right. Like, why am I here?
Why am I on this pitch in the first place? And, oh God, is that guy really going to kill me with that ball? So Danny kicks the ball, and he makes it.
Yep.
And it's all that Richmond need to be able to get back into the Premier League. So they have done it.
Yep, that's it.
Yep, and then the game ends. And so they actually don't win. It's a draw, right? It's 2-2, but it doesn't matter because they still...
They didn't lose.
...make it back into the
end. Yeah.
So everyone is excited. They're all cheering. Everyone except for Nate. We even see the guys at the bar, Jeremy, Baz, and Paul, and May... Everybody's hugging, and I love when they show Roy run out to the field, and Jamie comes up to him, and he's all excited, and Roy headbutts him first.
Right, to let him
know. And then he says, why did you do that? And he says, so I could do this. And then he brings him in and gives him a big hug, which is really cute, and then starts jumping up and down.
I know.
So they get back into the locker room, and everyone's super excited. And then Ted goes straight into his office because he's going to go grab some waters. And we see that the Believe sign is laying on his desk.
Oh gosh. This so aggressive.
Yeah, like this hurt when I saw that the first time. Like it's just been such a symbol for these two seasons. And then to actually see it ripped in half.
Yeah.
It was almost like aggressive. A character on the show got killed.
I know.
Because
it just showed like how much of an SOB can Nate be. And
right.
That's what he did. It's crazy. Really,
he was so pissed that they all put their hands up there on the Believe sign before they went out there for this second half, and that everybody loves Ted Lasso, and so this was his final way of saying fuck you. Ripped it in half, and he's gone. There's no Nate to be found for the rest of this episode.
Yeah.
Well, rest of this evening, anyway. At the press conference after the game, match, whatever, Ted says that he wants to address the article written by Mr. Trent Krim, The Independent. He looks over and the seat is empty. And he's like, okay. And then he goes on. He's like, you know, I just want to talk about I have been having trouble with anxiety. And he's using this as an opportunity to kind of open up a dialogue about mental health in sports, which right. I guess is from what we have seen in this episode. And I don't know much about sports, but I've heard that it's actually, you know, kind of a problem.
Yeah.
Like wasn't there recently a woman who...
Simone Biles dropped out of the
Olympics, right?
Yeah. And she's a gymnast. And then there was some kind of, you know, mental breakdown or however
she just didn't feel that she was...
Right, didn't have the mental capacity to compete. And so she dropped out. And then a lot of people kind of, you know, tore into her a little bit, like, get out there and do it. You know, it's like, you don't know what someone's going through, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it takes a lot for someone to recognize, like, I need to take a step back here. Yeah. And so... I think, you know, this is a good opportunity here for Ted to kind of take this on, and obviously in this fictional world.
Of course. Right, of course.
But, you know, art bleeds over into real life too sometimes also. So I think, you know, this is kind of happening at the same time. And I think that, you know, going forward, mental health in this country especially needs to be prioritized across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the fact that it's so hard to get stuff covered by insurance.
I know, it's a joke. It really is
such a joke in this country. And it doesn't seem like it's going to get better anytime soon. So anytime a show is taking this seriously and prioritizing it, I think that's a great thing. Ted goes up to Rebecca's office after the match.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he would like to congratulate her on her promotion. And she's like, you too. You want some champagne? And he's like, no, I'll just take water. And then she says, still or sparkling? And then she remembers how this went last year.
A problem, yeah.
And she's like, still. And I love this line. Sometimes this line will just pop into my head for no reason. But Ted says, you know, before living here, I used to think still water was just folks saying it's still water. Like it was water and it continues to remain to be water. And then Rebecca says, well, there's no greater education than travel.
Well, I didn't realize that still water meant it's not sparkling water.
Yeah, neither did Ted. So you and Ted have that in common.
Right, but I mean, not that it's still water, but like a name of a place is still water. I know there's like a water.
Is there a Stillwater Brewery?
Maybe, don't know.
That wouldn't be probably, still though, probably because not. It's got bubbles.
I know, but like I think Stillwater is an area too.
Yes, probably.
Like Minnesota or something like that. I don't know. I'm just saying whatever.
It remains to be, yes. I just thought it meant like, you know.
I didn't know it meant carbonated. Like the water's not carbonated is what I'm saying.
All right, we're moving on.
Yeah.
So as they are talking here, Rebecca says, you know, another piece of information is that Rupert has bought West Ham United. And Ted's like, well, it's a nice change. And she looks at him like, what? And he's like, well, at least our run-ins will be scheduled instead of sneak attacks like they normally are. So just then, Sam walks in and he sees Ted and Rebecca in there. And he's like, oh, you know, I'll come back later. And he's like, no. I was, Ted says, I was ready to leave anyway, so it's fine. But Rebecca says, no, Ted, stay. And Sam's like, no, it's okay. So neither of them want to be alone for this conversation. So Rebecca, I think, doesn't want to be alone because she's probably pretty sure that Sam's about to tell her that he's going to leave. And Sam doesn't want to be alone with Rebecca because he's about to tell her why he isn't going to leave.
Right, exactly.
So he says, you know, I just wanted to let you know that I have decided to stay. And Rebecca seems pretty relieved about that. And then they're like, oh, that's great. And they ask him how Edwin Akufu took the news. And he's like, not well.
Yeah, go check your security cameras. Because it's insane.
Oh my gosh, that part's so funny.
I know. But
yeah, he's pretending he's pooping on a mannequin.
I know,
he's
choking one out or something. It's insane.
So funny. So as he's getting ready to leave, Ted says, Sam, I'm just wondering, like, what made you not want to go? And you can tell that Sam's been like rehearsing this with himself because he's like all gets ready and he's like, okay, I wish I could say that it was because of my feelings for you. But he's still looking at Ted.
Right.
He's not looking at Rebecca. So I think he was so focused on getting this out and then was probably like, I'm just going to keep looking at Ted because this is easier than actually looking at her. But he basically says, like, I wish I could say it was for my feelings for you, but the truth is I need to stop worrying about how others feel about me and I need to do this for myself. So I'm guessing he basically breaks up with her here. Not that they were together, but I think he's basically just saying, like, I'm done waiting around for you to decide if this is a good idea or not. Like, I'm going on with my life and you can go on with your life. Which is great because I felt really bad for Sam in the last episode where she was like, I don't have the right to tell you to go, but I don't want you to go. Right. But I'm not going to say that I want to be with you.
Right.
Because if she told Sam that she did want to be with him, he was all in. Like, you can tell that he is in love with her and willing to take this chance with her. So he leaves. And poor Ted, that was super uncomfortable for him. So she sits down and then Ted says, you know, I think he was talking to you, but he was just looking at me.
Exactly.
And Rebecca's like, yes, I know that, Ted.
She's figured it out, Ted. Don't worry. He's like, okay, all right,
good. Okay, yeah. Then she downs her entire glass of champagne in one gulp. And Ted's like, man, you crushed that. And the sound that comes out of Rebecca is like, so funny.
Like, almost immediately regrets pounding that whole glass. It's great.
It's just been a shit week for Rebecca. I know. Keely left. Rupert bought West Ham. Nate's a dick. Sam broke up with her.
I know.
At least they got promoted. On his way out of the club, there's Trent Crim hanging out, looking cool as ever. With like his little blazer over some kind of rock t-shirt. So he's like, oh, hey, you know, I was worried about where were you? And Trent says, you know, I'm no longer with The Independent because I was fired when they realized that I had released a source or given up a source.
Anonymous source.
And Ted's like, oh, I didn't say anything, I promise. And he's like, no, I know. I said it myself. And he's decided that he's kind of done with this style of journalism anyway. And there's something else that he feels like he should be doing. So then Ted says, you know, now that you're not with The Independent anymore, you're just Trent Crim. And he says, independent.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny.
And then Trent says, my dad made that same joke.
That's so funny.
So, like, the dad of all dad jokes just said a joke that somebody else is... I mean, Trent's dad has to be, like, 75.
I know. How old is his dad?
And then Ted's just like, he seems like a cool guy. So Ted goes to leave and Trent asks him, do you want a ride? He's like, no, I prefer to walk. So Ted walks off and then Trent goes to get back in his car. He's locked out of his car. So I've heard that there's like a thing with keys throughout this whole series, but I have not picked up on exactly what that is.
No, I mean, and I've read some stuff about this scene and a lot of people are speculating like on Reddit or wherever.
Right.
That, the Trent Crim locking his keys in his car and not being able to leave is at the Richmond, because now you have to, he's at the Richmond facility.
Right.
Right. It's symbolic foreshadowing that he'll be joining the Richmond staff.
Right.
Now, on what level? I don't know. Like, why?
Yeah.
Like, maybe he's going to replace Keely? I don't know. Like, or
I feel like
her
maybe
job
he
or.
Would, like, write. Write something.
Yeah,
like
I don't know.
Book about
of course,
Richmond's
but
big turnaround
that's
like that. Maybe
that's probably better.
But
I mean, that's what a lot of people are symbolizing. Yeah. I don't know.
I've heard people say like he's going to join the coaching staff, but it's like this isn't
he's going to replace Nate.
This isn't Little League. Like you can't just volunteer to be a coach. These people are trained.
Replace Nate,
and he's a journalist. But I do think that he is definitely going to be. Either embedded with a team, maybe writing something, or...
And I bet you we find out in the first episode. Like, he'll show up, he'll be there, and then...
Right.
You know what I mean? Because time has passed, and now Trent Crim's a part of the... If, indeed, he is a part of the staff. You're going to learn in the first episode, I think.
What if he has decided that he's going to do a documentary, and the third season of Ted Lasso is like The Office now?
Yeah, that's Yeah, that's an angle. We just
have Rebecca sitting in front of the window.
Right.
Talking, doing confessionals.
Right. That's funny.
But yeah, so I think that Key's, like he's just kind of, he's sticking around. He's going to be there longer than he thought he was going to be.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Maybe that's time what the foreshadowing is. All right, we'll recap these time jumps real quick. So now we're going to jump 5 days ahead.
Right.
Where Roy surprises Keeley with tickets to a 6-week vacation. And she's like, this is great, but I cannot go on a 6-week vacation right now because she really has to start working to get her new company like up and running. And again, Roy takes this like, are we breaking up? And she's like, no, I just, you know, you're going to go on this vacation and I'm going to work and everything's going to be fine. And I love the whole thing about, because he hands her paper tickets. And he says, she's like, where did you get paper tickets? And he says, my travel agent, Kathy, she's old school.
She's old school.
So Jason Sudeikis' mother is named Kathy and she is a travel agent. So that's probably a little inside joke.
I see.
Then we're going to go a few weeks in the future and we're going to see Sam standing outside of a storefront that he has just leased or purchased. Oh, yeah,
that's right. Yep. And is it the same storefront that was the fake restaurant?
I was wondering the same thing.
I think it might be.
Yeah, because I remember Sam saying, like, I didn't realize this restaurant was here. And he says, it's not.
He made it or whatever. I think it might be the same place.
Yeah, that actually is pretty awesome look, if it is the same place. So he's going to open up a Nigerian restaurant now in London.
Yeah, which is cool because, he kind of got the idea from...
Yeah, when he was saying, I can't find, authentic Nigerian food here. So this is kind of him making this his own personal journey. Like he's setting roots down now in Richmond more than just playing for this team. So it seems like he's going to have
right
more
after
of a reason.
He's turned down.
Yeah, going to Ghana.
Yeah.
Wait, was that where he was going to go?
Yeah, and then now he's going to open a restaurant.
Right. Then we go 2 months mm-hmm. in the future. So... let's see. The start of this episode was April 30th, so May, June.
May, June okay. 30th, yeah.
So that means that probably when this show picks up with the third season, we may be in like June, July. And we see a gray-haired man on a pitch, and he's looking at this. The guys are running drills, and we see Rupert walk up to him. So the gray-haired man is not Rupert. Whisper something in his ear, walk off. He turns around and it's Nate.
That's crazy.
And Nate walks straight towards the camera and we end on his face. So season 2 opened on Nate's face and ended on Nate's face.
Yes.
Season 1 opened on Rebecca's face and ended on Rebecca's face. So let's see. Season 3 has to be Ted.
I know.
We got to start on Ted's
face. That was a great way that they ended it. They play the Yankee and the Brave by Run the Jewels, which is great.
The music,
such a great song. That's the song, is the Yankee and the Brave.
The music on this show is fantastic.
It is. It really is.
And I didn't realize, so there are two, are they both on Peanut Butter and Biscuits or is it another Ted Lasso podcast? But there are two great interviews with AJ Cataline, I believe, and Melissa McCoy. And they're the editors for this show. They usually will take odd episodes or even episodes. And one thing that I found out in their interviews, which I was surprised was they actually play a bigger role in choosing the music than I realized. Like they'll find songs that they think really work for parts and then they'll like edit it in a rough draft and run it by Jason, talk to the music people to see if they can get the rights for it and stuff. So I think it's so great that they do have that kind of control because you really are telling a story by editing, Like everyone, there's so many different points where you're telling the story, obviously writing the script and then the actors bring something to it and then the editors are able to edit it in a way where you can even tweak that story or portray something that maybe doesn't look so stark on paper like the fake out where we think that Ted's texting Rebecca and Rebecca's texting Ted at first. And then being able to add music puts such an impact on telling the story also. So it was great to hear that they kind of have like a hand in that as well. Okay. What did we learn about Ted?
What did we learn about Ted?
I put that he always thinks he's the reason that people do bad things to him.
No. Yeah. You're probably right.
Which is sad because he's like, what do I have to learn here? What did I do? when he confronts Nate.
Yeah, I know.
Which is sad.
But at the same time, he'll always still find the good in people.
Yes.
Right? I think.
Yeah, like he was waiting for Nate to be the one, I think, to come to him.
Right.
And say and why still, he did what he did.
Yep, and still ran in Nate's play. And I don't know, just interesting.
And yeah, I am in the camp that we will see a Nate redemption at the end of season three.
I think you're probably right about that.
And, you know, the other thing, too, is like Ted doesn't necessarily have to forget what Nate did, but I think that Ted will forgive because Ted doesn't want to carry that around.
No, absolutely. I agree. I agree that he's that kind of person.
Yeah. For what did we learn about Rebecca? I put that she is a good mentor.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, she was very happy for Keeley that she was moving on. You know, she was sad, obviously, but not upset at Keeley, just sad that they're not going to see each other as much anymore. And she probably really enjoyed working with her.
Right.
And that she can chug a glass of champagne.
Yeah, yeah, so can I. Anybody can do that, right?
Yeah, I guess that glass wasn't very big.
No, I know, but she did pound it down in the moment of like stress. Like,
yeah. Ted can't even sip sparkling water without spitting everywhere.
I know.
Chug champagne.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
Afterwards, whatever that noise was.
That's the noise of I just chugged a glass of champagne and I probably regret it, but I'm not sure.
The skirt suddenly feels tighter.
Yeah. I guess so.
And then what, you put a couple of things for what did Rebecca learn?
Rebecca learned that, I think she finally figured out that Ted likes still water. Yes. She.
Well, learned her lesson.
Because at first she's like, and then it hits her. It's like, no. Right.
Yeah.
No, I remember you spitting all over my face and everywhere else that you don't do sparkling water very well.
Right.
Which I guess sparkling water is big there, right? Which is what we learned.
Yeah, I'm guessing. I mean, I feel like it's getting.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably not quite like when you go to a restaurant here, mostly you're going to just get flat water. That's what I've always heard it called. Flat water.
Flat water. Not still water.
And then,
they're fancy there. Maybe they're.
We're going to have to see. So we're going in June and I'm excited to see so many things. First off, to see.
We have to do a special podcast just to.
Oh.
Like an in-between seasons podcast.
Like when we get back of what we saw.
What did we learn?
Yes, because I want to have Eaton Mess when I'm there because
Eaton what?
Eaton Mess. That's that recipe that Hannah did on the Drew Barrymore show.
Oh, I made it. That's right. Duh.
And it, right. Whatever I made was really good, but I'm curious to see what like it really tastes like. There's so many different things. I want to see the shredded wheat.
I want to know if it's different drinking in bars over there.
I bet it is, right? No, I mean, it's going to be different beers than we're used to.
I'm excited.
A little bit, yeah. It's just going to be fun. Yes. We're taking the kids there for a week, and we're going to Paris for a week, where we're going to Disneyland, and that looks exactly like Paris.
But still, it'll be a neat experience.
Yes, it will be.
And
we didn't expect that
we went to Disneyland in another country.
Yes, and
Disney Park.
I just wasn't expecting everything to be in English, but the video we watched on YouTube, everything does look like it's in English.
Yeah, I think we'll be okay.
So yeah, we'll do a little something when we're there, take some pictures and stuff.
What else did Rebecca learn? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just going to say I'm in a Facebook group for Ted Lasso, and I love all the people who are posting pictures all the time of going to Richmond.
Oh, that's cool.
The little bench and the telephone booth and the little alleyway and stuff. So I feel bad when they're trying to shoot and like people are hanging around there, but for the most part, it seems like everyone is very...
Being cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cooperative and courteous. Okay, so then I think the other thing Rebecca learned is that Sam's kind of done with her.
Yeah, he's moved on. That's it. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. And for what did Ted learn?
I added something in the last minute there.
You go.
Well, Nate's an SOB.
Yeah.
The son of a bitch.
He really is.
I mean, and I think he tried, like I said, going back to Nate, or I'm sorry, that Ted tries to find the good in people. I think he was waiting to see, and then I think he really learns, God, that guy's an SOB.
Yeah, I hope so. I really hope that Ted doesn't take a step back in season three with his mental health journey here.
Yeah, I mean, I think he learns it, but again, I think forgiveness is inevitable, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I really want Nate to find out in some way that... I want Rebecca to sleep with Ted. Of course. And then at some point in season three, when she lays in a Nate, she can be like, little fucker, he has a picture of you on his dresser.
Yeah, true. True.
That would be fantastic.
That's pretty good.
All right. Are they any more aware of each other?
I think so, I guess.
I mean, they are bonded emotionally
as
friends, for sure.
For sure.
There's someone that each of them really respects and enjoys being around and respects
advice. In that respect that they are more aware of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I could even maybe see Ted having a bit of a crush on Rebecca, but like in a, that will never ever happen. And so,
but like more respect, you know, respects her. I don't know. Yeah. It's interesting.
Like more like a schoolboy crush than anything that he thinks is going to materialize. But I think they have now laid a pretty decent foundation for them to be like, oh, wait a minute. You know, for that attraction to grow and for them to realize this could be more.
Yeah, that's...
So let's hope. Season three. Otherwise, we got to burn down this podcast.
Yeah. Is it only three seasons?
I don't know. Oh, so...
I see. I thought it was four.
I think it probably is going to be longer, but from what Jason Sudeikis has said, he is going to tell the story he originally set out to tell in three seasons. Hmm. So if Ted and Rebecca are going to get together, it's going to be in season three. And then whether or not they go on with more seasons, I don't know.
Can we delete the podcast if it's...
If it doesn't happen?
Yeah, like it never happened?
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
I don't know, though. I might... Oh, so here's something interesting. In the past week, I've had like two people comment on a Facebook group that they listen to this podcast, but they are not... They do not believe that Ted and Rebecca are going to get together, but they still enjoy our podcast.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Maybe people are getting more out of this than just that.
It's like listening to podcasts about landing on the moon and not believe that we landed on the moon. I don't know. Maybe that's too far-fetched.
Well, I'm just happy that people are open enough to listen to us even if you don't agree with it.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Then,
because mostly I just get yelled at on Facebook and or Twitter. So it is, I appreciate that you would listen to us, and it brings me so much joy that you could get some enjoyment out of it, even if you're not a Ted Becca shipper. So
all right.
Lovely. Okay. So this has been great. We are done now with season two.
Yeah.
We will be back with season three.
Yeah.
We don't even know when it's going to air sometime later this year.
But we'll be back.
We will. Okay. Thanks, everyone.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.